see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that'll wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Campbell. I'm the host of this show, program, call it what you want. Family, lots to talk about this afternoon. You know, I tell you what, I don't know about y'all on Facebook and YouTube and all these other places. You know, it's actually a ministry. When you get on YouTube and... which is really the biggest one. I don't know why I can't figure that darn thing out. But anyway, I'm not good at computers. I just know certain parts. I'm still trying to get that movie maker working, all this kind of stuff. I still got 8-track tapes. But in any case, oh yeah, I got a turntable too. 45 LPMs, RPMs, whatever. Family, it's not a laughing matter. Because there's a lot of deception going on today. Well, that's probably the understatement of the century, but I'm going to show you all here shortly. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast now, and I'm going to show you some massive deception. Now, regular listeners, you'll hear a little bit of what you've heard before, but I got to play it because I got to make a point. It's going to be ridiculous, actually. The YouTube and Facebook and whatever they are, and other blogs and so forth, it seems to be an all-out attack on the Bible. An all-out attack, that's the number one thing, on this ISIS saying they really exist and not controlled by the CIA. I've proven that is wrong because they are controlled by the CIA, and I've shown that. ISIS goes back to Al-Qaeda goes back to CIA and all the intelligence agencies, and it's linked up to the tribe of Dan. It's linked up to the facade and fake terror that they are presenting, which goes back all the way, man, it just goes back to Nimrod. And can be traced there, actually. You know, you lose people along the way. You say, well, this goes back to Bush. And you'll trace them to Bush. Well, no, it goes back further. Oh, really? And you'll show them some things. And they say, oh, okay. Clinton. Oh, I really like Clinton, they say. Because he balanced the budget. Well, there's your first lie. No, he didn't. He absolutely did not. As a lie. As a matter of fact, I have a listing of projects where he actually increased it. He lied, man. I got the list of about 10 to 12 projects that shows he increased it. And I got the list of them. Anyway, then you go back to Reagan. Then they'll always say, well, I really liked Reagan. Then show him at Bohemian Grove and how he lied and admitted he lied and so forth and so on. Oh, that's terrible, they always say. Long story short, you can trace it back, all the way back to 1776. So here's my point. As you trace back, say, FDR, you start losing people. Oh, that's going too far. Yeah. Then you go back to Woodrow Wilson. Oh, that's way too far, you know, they'll say. Then you go back to Lincoln, where he admits the Jesuits controlled our Civil War. Started, too. The Jesuits, responsible for the wars that killed more Americans than any war ever. The Jesuits, yet they still operate. As a matter of fact, Catholics, you have three Jesuit popes. Oh, how about that? The gray pope, Pepe Orsini, he controls the black pope. I always get this backwards. Adolfo Nicholas, a murderer. He's a Jesuit priest. That goes without saying. And Francis. They're all three Jesuits. Roman Catholics, you got some serious trouble coming down your pike. Because the Jesuits are dissembling or disassemble the Roman Catholic Church. Y'all don't know that yet. It's going to happen. It's a matter of time. So you start losing people along the way when you start explaining how deep this conspiracy really goes. And then when you've got those that's secular, then you start talking about the supernatural connection, man, you really start losing them. Those that don't believe in God or believe in the supernatural, they can't have it. It goes away. Well, I don't believe none of that. That's going too far. Everybody goes too far. They quit. They just stop. That doesn't take away the facts when you show the connections. They don't want to see it. So it can be summed up something like this. The people who can see Satan in everything aren't looking to see Satan in everything. They are awake to the deception because he is in everything. The people who can't see it are walking with the world and don't want their illusion destroyed because they would have to change their walk. I didn't make that up. I had it on my Facebook. Somebody put it there. I don't know who the author is. James 4, verse 4, goes along with it. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Oh, by the way, other Bibles don't have the adulteresses in there, just adulterers. They removed the word adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. There's no mistake in that. It's right there it is. And exposing the evils of this world will make you an enemy of many professing Christians even, because you're treading upon that which they truly love. And that's why people don't get past it. They can't handle it. Jeremiah 11, verses 9 to 10. It clearly states, I quote the scripture, "And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judea and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words and they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judea have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers, unquote. Family, before that was the ancient mystery religions, Mithraism, Zoroastrianism, shamanism, the ancient mystery schools of religion, not Islam, not the Roman Catholic Church. It was paganism. By the 4th century, paganism, you're not going to like this, but it's the truth, paganism was hidden for various reasons. I'm not going to go into. That's a rabbit hole would take me 30 minutes to get out of. I'm learning. Paganism was simply covered over with an umbrella called Roman Catholicism, 325 A.D. at the Council of Nicaea, to hide it. That's why we have pagan holidays. I'm sorry, but they are. I'm sorry. It's not my fault. Christmas is pagan. Totally. So's Easter. Every single holiday we have, bar none, is based on certain positions of the stars, the constellations, and their markers, identifiers of how to open up the portals and sacrifices of human beings and children. I got to tell you like it is. Now, I'm going to lose people, I know, but family, these are facts. It's based on alchemy. The knowledge of good and evil that God said, don't touch that tree. But he gave us free will. They did anyway. Because everybody wants to be a god. And the gods, as they say, wants to be human. Thereby, everybody's sinning. It's staying away from God. They're sinning because they are entity with God because they're of the world. I've just described what the world is. And that's Satan finds your weaknesses in cultures, in individuals, in countries. He finds the weaknesses. What is it they need that I can give them? What is it they lack? They don't lack anything? Okay, then I'll make them lack something. I'll put them in bondage for about a century or 50 years. This is how it works. This is how the world really works. And then my human servers, I will have them to give them freedom, but I'll control it. This is exactly what's going on today. Exactly. One more thing to say about it, and I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. Notice this. The Hispanics, what's their need? To get back to the heritage that they were born into, that the whites, the blacks, the Chinese were not. Hey, white folk, I got to tell you, black folk, Chinese folk, you don't belong in North American continent. I mean, we're here now. It is our home. Yes, you do belong because of that. But the very beginning, no. White folk in Europe, black folk, Africa, Chinese Orientals in the East, Indians and Mexicans, and those look like Middle Easterners, America, or excuse me, the North American continent, the Middle East, well, Middle Easterners. And notice the skin is different. The souls are the same. You know, you got souls, you know. Different cultures develop, of course. But everybody's got that spirit connected to God. But notice the black folk are southern south in Africa. The white folk are in Europe. And the more north you go, the whiter they get, man, like sheets on two legs. They're burning the sun. And then you go more east, still white folk in a way, but their eyes get slanted a little bit. They get smaller. It affects the DNA, don't it? Then you go in the Middle East, and you go more west, where the United States is now, the North American continent, and you line it up on that ley line, you got Middle Easterners there. They're not black, and they're not white, and they're doggone sure don't have slanted eyes. So how did it happen? How come there's not a polar bear in Africa? How come? Why not? How did the DNA, how come you don't have a coconut in Antarctica? Because you see, the ley lines, the power structure of the Earth, affects DNA and material, or excuse me, atomic, subatomic particles, to where it affects plants, animals, plant life, that would be plants, human beings over a long period of time. Because the DNA is affected. Oh, yeah. And the Russians discovered, actually, that language and words affects DNA. I'm vindicated. Some time ago, I found the study that language affects DNA on the long term. Tower of Babel, God changed the languages. Then God moved the plates apart so people could not get together. So they could not plot against him. That's the whole reason we're divided and separated on the earth. What's Satan's purpose? Bring everybody back together, intermingle the DNA, and say, now I'm going to have control of the world. That's what's going on today. I mean, that's the big picture. I step back from all this racism and all this stuff, and I look at the big picture, and I look at what's really going on for the long term, not the trees. I look at the forest. That's my choice. That doesn't make me special at all. I'm not special. I just choose to do that. Anybody can do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it. That's what's happening today. That's a really big picture. And I got evidence for all this too, by the way. I got quotes from Illuminati, I got quotes in the Bible, I got quotes, it's all documented, you know, so if anybody says, well, I just don't believe it, well, I can inundate you with evidence. I slam dunk you tons of it. And again, so what? It's because I've spent my life doing this now. Totally. Completely. Man, I don't want a social life. I want to get this pegged to the level that I can. And I'll never, ever, ever get it totally pegged. It's impossible. My human mind does not have the dimensional capacity. And neither does any genius at Harvard. No human being has the dimensional capacity to understand the full scope of the supernatural. It's impossible. Don't matter who you are. Hawkins or Albert Einstein or Timbuktu with a 200 IQ. It don't matter. If you're human, you don't have the capacity to fully understand the mind of God. It's impossible. Yet we try to. He gives us certain limits. Even the fallen angels and Satan. There's no aliens. That's nonsense. You can even prove there are no aliens. Actually. Entropy. Evolution. It's impossible. Because of entropy. Thermodynamics. It's impossible for evolution to have occurred scientifically. It's not possible. But the belief and the desire to prove that we're not created by a God that's going to judge us keeps us blinded and praying to what? To who? Yeah, hoping, praying that there is evolution and that we won't be judged and there's no tribulation coming and we're going to escape all the wrath of God. That I can do anything I want to do. And just die and it's over. Well, I got news for you. It's not what's going to happen. We're responsible. You better start now. Energy isn't destroyed. It goes to heaven or it goes to hell. I don't candy coat nothing. I got evidence for everything. If I don't have evidence, I'll say, well, this is my opinion based on these evidentiary points. And I'll lay it out. You make your own decision. But if I got facts lined up, three or more sources, bona fide sources, then I'm going to tell you. People don't like it, well, I guess they won't listen. I can't help that. But nobody owns me but Jesus Christ. That's it. Let's dedicate the broadcast before I get started on it. I get started sometimes, I don't shut up. Lord, we come together today. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, we lift up to you. Today, Lord, we lift up to you to lead us. Father, lead me today. Guide me, Father, that I may hit the points today and that, Lord, I'll hear your voice inside me, in my heart. Lord, forgive me of my sins that I may, Father, receive that blessing that I can pass on the truth, Lord, to Father, to wake up other people, Lord, that we all can work together, that we share in the knowledge, Father, and correct each other. That, Father, give us humility. Take away that pride. Take away that ego, Lord, that keeps us down, keeps us apart from truth. To make us humble, Father, before you, that the truth can come into our heart. Because, Lord, we know that we have ourselves in our heart that there's not enough room for truth. That, Lord, we go by your will, not our own. Deny ourselves, and, Father, put you above all. Father, we pray against the evil that causes interruptions. And, Father, that's why we pray. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And, Lord, we plead that precious, uncorruptible blood of Jesus over myself, over ourselves, ones that's praying. Lord, you hear their prayers too. As you hear all our prayers now. And our families and everything that belongs to us, Lord. And Father, we ask you for these giant warrior angels that you have protecting us. And others to be loosed from heaven, above and beyond, and to surround us and protect us. And Father, as your war club and weapons of war, Father, we ask you, the Holy Spirit, to break down, undam, and blow up all the walls of protection around all these witches, warlocks, wizards, Satanists, and all the like. And Father, we ask you to break the power of all curses, hexes, vexes, and spells, charms, the fetishes, the psychic prayers, the psychic thought, all witchcraft directed in our direction, in our ways, that's controlling our families on the outside. The sorcery, the magic, the voodoo, the psychotropic drugs, the effects of them, all mind control. The jinxes, the potions, the bewitchments they put upon us, the death and destruction they cause, the sickness and pain, the torment, the psychic power, the psychic warfare, and the prayer chains to be busted up. And everything else being said my way, those that's praying in their way, and the family members of those, and return it, and the demons to the senders, and do it right now, Lord, we pray. And sevenfold back to them, and bind it to them by the blood of Jesus. And Father, we do pray, though, that these lost souls now will find the light of your Son, Jesus. And that their own snares and their own traps have been set against themselves. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, to Holy Spirit, to loose them from all the mind control of Satan now. And Father, we also ask you, bind the Holy Spirit to their hearts. And this to serve as a guide to your Son, Jesus. So they may be set free from the bondages of Satan. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, we pray for our brethren, our brothers and sisters. We pray for Virginia. Lord, we pray for Nelda and Brooke to come together and work together. Father, that they're seeking the true name of God through the King James Bible. Lord, we pray for Kathy. We pray, Lord, for Brandy to find that job. Indeed, Father, to be protected by the blood of Jesus. We pray for Max and Leah and Linda and Carrie. Father, pray for them all. For Antonio, and Father, for all the families that you're hearing, the ones that I don't even know, Lord, I've mentioned, you know who they are. And you're hearing the prayers of those separate, that, Lord, you'll answer those prayers, if that be thy will. Father, we pray for our veterans. And Father, you'll loose them from the effects of the psychotropic drugs. Father, to silence the voices in their head, to give them rest, and to tear down the technology that's causing it. Father, we pray for children that's being abducted. We pray for the return of those being lost recently back to their families, or for them to at least be found. These things we pray, Lord. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What is it sometimes we pray for? How's it go back in the 60s? Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? I know it won't quit my day job. I don't have one. But anyway, my job is to search out scriptures. My job is to search out the history and try to simplify it. If anybody, for me, understand it. But what do we pray for a lot of times? We pray for ourselves. There's nothing wrong with praying for your daily bread. Not the eaten bread, but the blessings that he gives upon us. But what is it we really focus on sometimes? Think about others also. Praying for others. Putting God first. His word first before us. Pray for his will to be done. He'll give you the ways to do it. But right now, what are we contending with on this earth until the time of Jacob's trouble begins? It hadn't begun yet. I recalled, I came up with, I do quotes, my own quotes actually. I got several little quotes that I will tell you. I came up with one that goes back several years ago. I don't know if anybody else came up with it or not, but this is what I came up with. Quote me. The end of the past ages, excuse me, the end of the past ages is drawing near. The beginning of our new future looms on the horizon. Everybody talks only half of that. I said, wait a minute, that's not right. We're coming to the end of time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're all going to die, blah, blah, blah. I said, you know, that's not really right. That's not true. The end of the past ages is drawing near. But that signals the beginning of our new future looms on the horizon. I said, oh. You see? Nothing lasts forever except truth. Deception is forever short and terminal. I came up with that one too. I don't know if anybody else thought of that one. Nothing lasts forever except truth will last forever. Deception is forever short and terminal. It's one I found. It kind of fits what I said a little while ago. Is every conspiracy is simply a step in the outward manifestation of Lucifer's determined rebellion toward God as executed by his human agents. I don't know who wrote that. It's anonymous. I didn't write it myself. But that's what's really going on today. And the bottom line, it's those darn Arabs. That's the Jews, man. It's the damn dead, doggone cotton-picking Jews out there. It's the Illuminati. They keep saying that. But they forget what David Spangler sums it right up, what the real instigators are. David Spangler, Director of Planetary Initiative of the United Nations. He tells you right there what's going to happen. It's not the Jews. It's not the Muslims. It's not 10 buck to Elmer Fudd, Obama, or the Vatican Church, or this, that, and the other. He says it like this, quote, no one will enter the New World Order unless he or she will make a pledge to Lucifer, to worship Lucifer. No one will enter the New Age unless he will take a Luciferian initiation. Family, one of the initiations was that Ice Bucket Challenge. That challenge goes back several thousand years. Oh, yeah, dumping the cold water goes back a long time ago in satanic initiation. I'd say 99% of people doing Americans don't have a clue that they've just been initiated in a satanic ritual. And that's a fact. How many people doing it? And notice, too, that the movie stars, the CEOs of large corporations who are all part of this Luciferian agenda at the hierarchy, or the council's committees of human service that we've been talking about here for the past 30 minutes, they all jumped on the bandwagon. Even Hawkins, the guy in the so-called intelligent or the so-called genius that has Lou Gehrig's disease, whatever, he's one of the most evil as well. I'm sorry, but that's Mandela was too. Knights of Malta. Family, got to call what it is. Why? Because you stay away from them. He got Ice Bucket and everybody else, Bill Gates and Lady Gaga, the whole lot of them. So now, everybody that follows them, guess what? They're going to follow that Ice Bucket Challenge. You're going to have a whole lot of Americans that just entered satanic initiation. And by doing it, cause them to be possessed. Sounds crazy, don't it? But it's not. It's true. Family, this is how the world really works. And they do it tricky-like. John Todd said it very well before he was assassinated and murdered wherever he ended up after the 80s. He was an Illuminati member, the Council of 33, John Todd. I highly recommend his testimonies. They went through the 70s and 80s. You see, Satan doesn't have wisdom, nor does he have discernment. The supernatural realm does not know what God is doing. But God has a connection to those that's in the spirit. So, long story short, John Todd explains it like this. That Satan wants to attach himself. And when I say Satan, it's not that Satan does all this and 8 billion people. It's that the demonic realm, the demons, are nothing but specks of light. Specks of energy, light, little specks. The fallen angels, all of them, are nothing but the orbs. When you see the orbs, things flying around like UFOs, those are fallen angels, family. They're not UFOs at all. They're energy that haven't manifested in a physical or a non-material or non-physical or non-flesh vehicle. Or they channel, or they use avatars, different ways of communicating with their human servers. That's what they are. Not angels from God at all. The orbs can't possess by ritual. That's what human sacrifice is all about. And disasters and wars. That's the purpose of World War I and World War II. I bet you never heard that before, have you? It's truth. By the carnage, the death allowed in the Civil War, the death that it caused is destruction. Allowed El Moria, Saint Germain, oh, I'm in so much trouble, Dajuaku, all these fallen angels to manifest themselves because of that Civil War. Somehow they absorb that energy, that life force of the death and destruction they cause. Because in 1870s, when they were manifested in the flesh, a different flesh, they contacted Helena Blavatsky. Now you see? And they maintained the physical form for quite some time, till it ran out. They use it up. Blood, flesh, keeps them alive. Or not alive, but in their flesh suits. If they don't have enough energy to do it, they channel. Or overshadow, they call it. Depends on which school of thought you're going. Either one, they talk through their human servers. And there's three ways they bring the notions, ideas, and plans, inventions to mankind. Three different ways they do it. Influencing inventions of sort. I'm not going in there right now unless somebody really wants me to, but you'd have to, I don't know, send me an email or something. I can do it. I can give you the whole layout. Because I've located some of their textbooks. They have to print what they're doing. They have to teach what they're doing. If you know what you're looking for, you can find their textbooks. And then connect dots. It's how it really works. It's how the world really works. This is what the wars are for. Now, secondary purpose of the wars. Revolutionary War. Lip Saint Germain, fallen angel, connected with the financial expert of the supernatural realm. Saint Germain, if you look him up now, you will find that he's a very mysterious character in the 18th century. He existed then. The very same one that came back again in the 18th, 19th century. Helena Blavatsky, Alice Bailey. These wars give them power, gives them energy that they can manifest in their physical realm in the copper-based DNA pattern. It's alchemy. And they're going to last so long. They need flesh. They need blood. This is real. That's what the wars were all about. But there's other reasons for the wars. Secondary. They used it for their advantage. I'll quickly tell you. They control by setting up wars. Wars need what? Money. Got to have money. Food, fuel, weapons, muskets, guns, whatever it is, whatever age that it is, whatever technology is needed for that war, the money is required. God don't have money in his kingdom. There's no money. You know, when Jesus Christ comes back, he's not bringing a Federal Reserve with him. Heaven Federal Reserve. HFR. There's no such thing. There's no money in heaven. There's no investments. There's no 401k. Yeah. You see, all that's control people. So to fight the wars, you need money. And money you get from bankers. Bankers are nothing more than shoeshine boys for the Illuminati. They don't control it. Those people that say they do are working for them side, that side. Or they're just poor researchers. That's only two that you can pick because they should know better. The bankers just provide the money. The Irish. I'm Scotch-Irish. I'm a white boy. I'm Scotch-Irish. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's not the Jews. It's the Irish, the Knights Templars, that control the money for the Knights of Malta. That's the evil right there. They have to have Jews on the outset to have plausible deniability. They have to have the Muslims, the Arabs, as plausible deniability. To take away from the true evil within the secret societies. Let's get right down to it. That's how it really works. Well, Revolutionary War created a debt. You thought I forgot about it, didn't you? That was the purpose of it. It put us in debt. We lost that war badly. The history books lie. We remained a colony of England. Paris Peace Treaty, 1783. Established a fake republic. A fake constitution. It was meant to be carried out on the outside, but never meant to be fully carried out on the inside as covertly. The facade was we had a constitution. We've never had one. It's been a facade all along. And the one that was going to challenge that was JFK. That's another story. So they established debt. We had to give money to fight the war. We had to have money for this colony called the United States of America Incorporated to continue. For the corporation to continue needed money because we spent everything and came into debt under the Rothschilds, were German, Bauer is their original name, changed it to Rothschild, to fight the war, put us in debt, and King George III was made prince of the United States of America. The losing king, yeah, he was made prince of the winners of the Revolutionary War, hardly, and so we had to pay the debt back to the loser of the Revolutionary War, England. No, we didn't win. They beat us. We had to pay the debt back, and the King George III was made Prince of the United States of America Incorporated. Yeah, buddy. So, they set up a 70-year bank plan. 70 years bank cycle. 1789 it began. And to continue with money, to continue the government or the colony's legislation. Yeah. They took loans, collateral, Washington, D.C. That's why it's District of Columbia under maritime law. Always has been, even today. That's why you enter a ship. You don't enter the court in any court. Doesn't matter. When you go through the little wooden gates that you go into the defendant's side, you're entering out the ship to sea. The judge, you're not even in the United States when you go into a courtroom. That's another story. So 70-year bank cycle, collateral was Washington, D.C. That's why it also has all these occult symbols, because they took over it. The obelisk, the Washington Monument, the reflecting pool, as above, so below. You got all the Pentagon, all this stuff. It's mapped out in the Satanic Baphomet. You can read all about it. There you go. That's why. So that's collateral. 70 years it lasted. It funded it. It provided collateral. 70 years. What do you need now? You need another war. Mm-hmm. At the same time, to bring the fallen angels in, they had something called Civil War. Now you see what it's for. Exactly what it's for. But let's fool the goyim and tell them it's for slavery, it's for, sugar cane or whatever, and put it in the history books. That's a lie. It was to finance the next 70 years as collateral. It was to cause death and destruction to bring in the fallen angels to this realm. And specifically, the ones called El Moria, Saint Germain, Dajuaku, and Hilarion, and several of them, that was setting up for the next 70 years. There you go. What ends? 1859, 70 years later, right on target. That's not a coincidence. We killed each other, just like they're trying to get us to do today. Jesuits. Confirmed by Abraham Lincoln that Jesuits caused that war. And put French on one side to keep us contained, and put the Germans on the north to keep them contained, to make sure we did not get strong enough, because they were afraid that the American colonies would band together and say, wait a minute, let's just keep on going and we'll just take over the monarchies, because they knew we would kick their honey butts back to, they'd kick them back to London in a heartbeat and take over London. And we would have, too. But they kept us killing each other, so it never happened. So they made sure we never became a strong, self-governing nation. So men kill each other. Boy, that ticks me off. All those people, 500,000, died for what reason? The Illuminati, the Vatican, could suck up the evil and control. 70 years. Need collateral. Well, how about we give you the original 13 states as land, as collateral? Okay, we'll take that. And that's what they did. That's why the UN, when they divide the United States up into four regions, China, Mexico, Canada, United Nations on the East Coast, they still own it. You understand that? Because it lasted the whole 70 years. They set up another debt. 1859, add 70 years, what you got? 1929. Right on target. Great Depression. What was in between? Oh, wars, wars, and more wars. More fallen angels coming back again for David Spangler, for Anna Bissett, for Alice Bailey, 1919 to 1945. She wrote 18 books as dictated by her, by El Moria. He came back again. So did Saint Germain. Fallen Angels, 1919. Because they had wars. It was called World War I, the war to end all wars, remember? Mm-hmm. They manifested again in the flesh of copper-based DNA. I get right down to it, of how they did it, the alchemy. Family, that brought the second phase of the New Age movement. The first phase was Helena Blavatsky, based on what I just told you, 1870s to 1890s, led by the fallen angels. By 1919 to 1945 was Alice Bailey, the second phase of the New Age movement. And during this period of time, see, Helena Blavatsky was the mother of the New Age movement. She was the mama, the first phase. And then they killed her in 1891 when they were done with her. That's what they do there, Freemasons. You know that, don't you? So 1919, the same year that Benjamin Krem was born, the end of World War I, all kinds of things happened in 1919. The formation of the Council of Foreign Relations and Royal Institute of National Affairs between 1919 and 1921. I mean, I can name you a laundry list of things they came up with in 1921. Then they started the mini depression in 1921. Gets pulled in the Great Depression by 1929. Man, it was all just going like a brass band. I've got it all laid out on a matrix. It's amazing how they did it. Amazing. 1921, pull them all in. We're going to crash the market on them. So that's two collaterals. Washington, D.C. 13 states. 1789. 70 years. 1859. See? 70 years. 1929. A lot of death and destruction, murder, mayhem. In between the whole time. So, 1929 rolls around. 1927, the Federal Reserve has a meeting, secret meeting, by the way, to plan the 1929 Depression. 1928, we're ready to go, baby. So they take Hitler and they fund him 100%. Wall Street does, like they did the Bolsheviks. That's correct. That's where they brought in Lenin and all the rest of them. 1904 and so forth. Well, 1927, 1928, they fund fully Adolf Hitler. Henry Ford's part of the transportation. Wall Street provides the money for the Nazi movement through IG Farben chemical cartel. Without the money of Wall Street, you would not have had Adolf Hitler. Period. But it's all planned out anyway. The Council of Foreign Relations, evil to the absolute core. The Royal Institute of National Affairs, evil to the absolute core. Brought in Adolf Hitler. Americans, guess what? You're fat and happy, man. Happy days are here again. 1921. Whoo, we got through that depression of 1921. Y'all didn't know about that, did you? Some of you do. But so, J.P. Morgan, who caused the depression of 21, also said, I'll save the day. And if you only put me on a monopoly board for prosperity, I'll save the day. That's J.P. Morgan, by the way, on the monopoly board. That old bearded old fat boy on the top right-hand corner, that's J.P. Morgan. Yeah. Anyway, so he brings in money to the stock market as they control it. Up it goes. So daddy and mama who lost money and everybody panicked America in 1921 said, man, we better jump on this. Oh, yeah, get my cigars, my A-model car, and hello, Dolly, clapper girls, baby, come on, sit on my lap, honey, you see. And Dillinger and the crime gangs keep us all busy. Hoover, wearing his underwear, his panties and whatever else, is a Knights of Malta. Remember, Knights of Malta, Hoover. Oh, they're got us all tied up and happy days are here again. Got us busy, didn't he? Sure did. A little bit of women you can't smoke. Guys of prohibition. Family, all this is connected together. It's an amazing story. How they did it, orchestrated the beginning of the feminist movement. The enslavement of women began about then, and then Edward Bernays, nephew of Sigmund Freud, said, oh, light up for freedom. They trained the women to bring other women together, tired of being slaves, to set up getting ready for the feminist movement later. Family, all this is planned through Tavistock. I've got objectives. I've got the planning tables. I got the whole shooting caboodle. It's amazing how they set this up. And we're busy going to Clapper Girl programs or whatever. I don't know what. TV, we got TV. We got that lion FDR setting up 1929. 500 banks fail February, March, April, May, June. Uh-oh. Oh, trouble in paradise. Yeah, buddy. 1929. Let's deny the World War I veterans their bonuses, because we have a military dictatorship set up for 1933. So 1929 is just simple phone calls. That's Harvard professor. Why are you lying to these people? All it was a phone call. Banks, start calling in your loans. Pay up or lose your car, lose your house, lose your shirt, whatever it is, we're going to take it if you don't pay up. So what do you got to do? I got to sell my stocks. The market crashed. On cue. Deny the veterans their bonuses. Why? Because we want to tick them off. Why? Because they're going to use them for military dictatorship and military takeover by 1933. Oh, yeah. Bonus Army, 1932. I've talked about this before, but now I'm giving you a little more detail. And what do you want to do that for? Well, if we have a military dictatorship, we get General Butler, who everybody trusts him. Let's give him $60,000 in cash to lead a revolt against that FDR. And we'll bring back America like it was. Does that sound a little familiar? Klein and Sinker. But General Butler wasn't stupid. He was smart. He took him for a year. Said, well, I'll do it, but I need to know who's planning this. So I don't, blah, 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 right? He did his own investigation. He found out the industrialist that was behind it. Uh-oh, he blew the whistle to Congress. Dirk C. McCormick Commission confirms it. Went before court and Congress. See what happened? All this is planned out. Every bit of it. Perfectly. Oh, they have little snafus, but they work through it. So they had really ticked off veterans that they figured would jump on the chance of overtaking the government, getting their bonuses, military dictatorship. Sound familiar? They've done it 6 times in our history. 6 times they've tried this and it's failed each and every time. Because God is in control. It wasn't time yet. Now, I have... I've been recording this, so I've thrown a lot of stuff at you here in a short period of time, I suspect. But I stand by it. The point of the matter is, I know that you're taking notes or something like that, if you actually are. That you might want to go back to it. Because, family, this is important to know because it brings us up to date. I'm not done yet. Point is, nothing new under the sun. And people say, well, that's a conspiracy theory. No, sir. Not one theory behind it. So, documented fact. There's no theories here. I don't like theories. It's like reading a stupid fictional book. To me, reading fiction is a waste of time. That's just my attitude about it. If it's fiction, why read it? However, I will admit, though, some fiction books are based on truth that just don't tell you that. 1932, Bonus Army wants their money. Why? Because there's... because of 500,000 soldiers that fought for this country. They didn't know they were being manipulated and murdered and tested and guinea pigs and all. They didn't know that. They thought it was fighting for freedom. And that's exactly the term Edward Bernays used again to get us to fight a war that they'd set up in 1871. Albert Pike. Doggone sure did. All world wars, one yet to come, was all set up before 1871 by the Vatican. Oh, I got the evidence. I got the names, dates, times, people, places, quotes, everything. That should tick somebody off. Somebody should get tired of it, tired of hearing it. Somebody with power that says, you know, I'm just tired of this. I'm going to renounce the blood oath. I'm going to renounce Knights of Malta. I'm going to renounce Freemasonry. Let's all get together and try to... But nobody's going to do it because they're all self-serving. And they actually think they're going to be saints, the new world order, but they're not. They're going to be murdered. All Masons will be murdered by the Great White Brotherhood. It will happen. They just don't know that yet. But anyway, be as it may, 1929, market crashes. Everybody's put out of work, and you know the story there. By 1932, the Bonus Army marches on D.C. You know the story there. Bonus Army gets moved out by General MacArthur and Patton and Eisenhower and Blackjack Pershing and General Moves them all out of D.C. by Bannett. Active duty military against World War I veterans. See anything going on here? A problem? Maybe? That's a really tick him off. Then General Butler blows a whistle to Congress. They wasn't expecting that one. So he served as a... in the 1920s, he... in China, I think it's, no, it was one of the banana wars. He served as a, not a king, but a president of some sort. So he had experience in administration and politics. That's another reason they picked him. Well, I tell you what, let's see what we got here.
You can roughly locate any community somewhere along a scale running all the way from democracy to despotism. This man makes it his job to study these things.
Well, for one thing, avoid the comfortable idea that the mere form of government can of itself safeguard a nation against despotism.
For big business, despotism was often a useful tool for securing foreign markets and pursuing profits. One of the U.S. Marine Corps' most highly decorated generals, Smedley Darlington Butler, by his own account, helped pacify Mexico for American oil companies, Haiti and Cuba for National City Bank, Nicaragua for the Brown Brothers brokerage, the Dominican Republic for sugar interests, Honduras for U.S. fruit companies, and China for Standard Oil. General Butler's services were also in demand in the United States itself in the 1930s, as President Franklin Delano Roosevelt sought to relieve the misery of the Depression through public enterprise and tougher regulations on corporate exploitation and misdeeds.
More power to you, President Roosevelt. The entire country's behind you, thrilled with hope and patriotism.
But the country was not entirely behind the populist president. Large parts of the corporate elite despised what Roosevelt's New Deal stood for. And so, in 1934, a group of conspirators sought to involve General Butler in a treasonous plan.
The plan as outlined to me was to form an organization of veterans, to use as a bluff or as a club at least, to intimidate the government.
But the corporate cabal had picked the wrong man. Butler was fed up with being what he called a gangster for capitalism.
I appeared before the Congressional Committee, the highest representation of the American people, under subpoena to tell what I knew of activities, which I believe might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship. The upshot of the whole thing was that I was supposed to lead an organization of 500,000 men, which would be able to take over the functions of government.
A congressional committee ultimately found evidence of a plot to overthrow Roosevelt. According to Butler, the conspiracy included representatives of some of America's top corporations, including J.P. Morgan, DuPont, and Goodyear Tire. As today's chairman of Goodyear Tire knows, for corporations to dominate government, a coup is no longer necessary.
Corporations have gone global. And by going global, the governments have lost some control over corporations.
I'm going to let it play on, but this is a lie that they're telling you right now. The corporations are nothing but little puppets. They're making it look like corporations are in control. Oh, that's a lie. So I just want to let you know before they jibber-jabber. See, it's pretty good up to this point. And they say, FDR, more power to you. That's a lie, too, because FDR was aware of this plan. He's going to catch Butler in the act of treason, declare martial law, and dictatorship. And I have that directly from FDR about a dictatorship he is going to execute March 4th, 1939. I'll let you know that there's always some truth, but there's always some distraction and lies in it, too. Oh, I got some surprise for you today. Yeah, buddy. Here we go.
Regardless of whether the corporation can be trusted or cannot be trusted, governments today do not have over the corporations the power that they had and the leverage that they had 50 or 60 years ago. And that's a major change. So governments have become powerless compared to where they were before.
Capitalism today commands the towering heights and has displaced politics and politicians.
Not
as the
true
new high priests and reigning oligarchs of our system. So capitalism and its principal protagonists and players, corporate CEOs, have been accorded unusual power and access.
False.
This is not to deny the significance of government and politicians, but these are the new high priests.
That's totally false. They're nothing but pawns. The President of the United States is nothing but a pawn. So, here comes some couple of ham bones to you. Yeah, 1929, crash, 1932-33, planned dictatorship, it fails. So they readjust the stimulus plan, New Deal. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. 1939, 6 years after this. Now, some of y'all heard this before, but I'm heading to some new information. I see where this broadcast is going today. I wasn't sure exactly. March 4th, 1939, 6 years after this planned coup that was exposed by General Butler in 1933. Dirk C. McCormick Commission confirms it. It was planned in the 1920s. Now remember what I've just said. It was planned in the 1920s. Okay? Now, March 4th, 1939, 2 years before Pearl Harbor, 2 years before Pearl Harbor, which was planned in the 1920s by FDR, Churchill, and Hitler, and the Japanese elite. You heard me correctly. March 4th, FDR behind closed doors in front of three congressional committees. And I've got it word for word here written down by Senator Lundeen, who was a member of one of the three congressional committees. and gave it to William G. Carr, Red Fog Over America, about the 1950s, sometime after FDR died at Yalta. He then gave this quote to William G. Carr, and he put it in his book, Red Fog Over America. On my website, watchingforjesus.com, my timeline there, you can find it. March 4th, 1939. You can look for it, search, and whatever, and read it. Or get the book, Red Fog Over America. A little-known book, but it's really good. Here's what FDR said behind closed doors, and this was never to be released to the public. But it was after his death. And naturally, they're not going to... Here's a secret society FDR was, too, by the way. FDR said, with full intentions, quote, to three congressional committees, I am making no concessions to business or for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I am putting my people ahead of all instruments. I'll have had a full understanding with Chamberlain, and we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war and a war only. To hell with American people. As far as a democracy is concerned, it does not exist. It never did, and we will never let it happen that way. Now, I'm going to crush business. I'm going to infest America with all the aliens possible. Do you hear what I just said in 1939, what he said? I'm going to say it again as part of this quote. I'm going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible. Sound familiar? And the last analysis, declare martial law and confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My new deal, stimulus plan, is a failure, and I know it. But no one else will tell me I must discontinue my present activities and program. Unquote. Now, 1929, the bank 70-year bank cycle ended, did it not? 1789, 1859, 1929. They needed another bank loan to continue on because we were bankrupt as a country, taken off the gold standard. Nixon didn't do it. FDR did. He took us off the gold standard. You no longer have any money. It's not backed by anything. If JFK was going to try to back it by silver, that's why one of the reasons he got assassinated. But FDR took us off the gold standard, not Nixon. FDR did. That means the money had no backing at all. Well, here's the rub on that. Need collateral. Every American citizen was pledged to the bankers. I mean the entire population of America. Of human beings. From that point on, 1929, was pledged as collateral in a bank loan under the certificate called a birth certificate, given to the IMF, given to the bankers as collateral. Each individual. That's what the birth certificates are used for. That's the only reason for them. And then later, every American citizen was giving in to social insurance that you don't know about for $1 million. Each individual is bonded for $1 million as a bond slave with a bank certificate, a birth certificate, and then later a Social Security number. That's what that's for. And you are made into a dummy corporation. Tom Gamble is a dummy corporation. Don't you dare say dummy now. I'll come get you. It's a dummy corporation. Therefore, I have to pay income taxes because I'm a corporation. I just didn't know it. I didn't know that I was bonded for $1 million when I was born. And so are you. I don't care who I'm talking to. It's collected interest in Switzerland. And y'all just didn't know it. That began the collateral for 70 years. And I got the quote between Mandel House and Woodrow Wilson talking about this very thing as one of the biggest frauds in 1920s that they were going to cook up. I got the direct quote from from a diary that Woodrow Wilson's diary of talking about this. Mandel House was a Luciferian. He was, in fact, a Satanist. As a matter of fact, Woodrow Wilson said, quote, "He's my alter ego." That means he was mesmerized. He was possessed. Just like Thomas Jefferson was by Adam Weishaupt in the 1780s. That's a fact, too. There's nothing new under the sun. That's how they control it. So every American citizen, you got a birth certificate, Social Security number, and a bank account that the day you were born was $1 million collecting interest the day you were born. And when you die, they get it. They keep it. When a soldier dies, gets murdered, killed over there, wherever it is, World War I, World War II, World War III, whatever, they get the money. Plus life insurance y'all didn't know about that they gave on them too. Joint Chief of Staff, they know about this. Because they're a bunch of Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus guys. Mm-hmm. These are secret society members. Anyway, so come about at 70 years, 1929, what do you get? 1999. That was the plan all along. New World Order, January, the year 2000. Oops, it didn't happen. And you know where it's supposed to start? In Kosovo. In June 1999 to December. Some broadcasters lied and said Putin launched an attack, World War III, in December 1999. In a couple of radio shows. It was a lie. Wesley Clark was supposed to start the spark between the Russian Spetsnaz and a British mechanized unit in Kosovo, in Pristina Airport, in June 1999. That's supposed to start World War III. Stopped. Fallen angels appear. World War, the New World Order began. January, dear 2000, never happened. Family, we're 14 years overdue. So now, what happened? Yeah, buddy. In 1990s, in anticipation of 1999, the Clintons are working out deals, ChinaGate, with China. Selling property to China behind the backs of some of the other Illuminati in Europe. Setting up an alliance with China. Aldo Brandini, I believe. Breakspear, Illuminati inside Italia. They got a little deal going on here with China. China moves in Mexico, sets up military bases. And as a result of Jimmy Carter's pulling out of Panama Canal on purpose, China moved in. Panama Canal later. Start building military bases in Mexico. Costco, 1994. China was another way they start bringing the military in, thanks to Clinton. He knew what he was doing. Family, this is so much to set up, it ticks me off, man. It's all been planned by the socialists, the Luciferians. So by 1999, that 70-year bank cycle is over. Uh-oh. We don't have the world government like we thought we were going to have. Okay, stimulus plan. China bought up our debt. That's how we have remained afloat. We need a war. Of course, Iraq is more than just a war. Those in the know, I'm not going to go into it right now, but those in the know, part of the Iraq war was what was in the museum, too. I'm not going to go in detail, but I will. For those in the know, all I have to say is the gin pots. Now you know. The gin pots has a lot to do with the supernatural. I'll leave that alone. And then they start taking down America's troops. That began in 1950. Korea. Vietnam, cancer, Agent Orange, a glycerol factory specifications, 1966 was given to Russia by our CEOs so they could build a glycerol factory in Russia. The glycerol was then passed on to the VC. glycerol was used as detonators in the booby traps, accounting for 50% of the death of our soldiers. The Agent Orange was to cause cancer. By the late 80s, the Gulf War, cancer was placed in the vaccines. A derivative of HIV, Ebola, and the Gulf War syndrome caused the Gulf War syndrome, the virus which is similar to Ebola and the HIV, an attack on the immune deficiency system of the soldiers and Marines. People that weren't even in the fighting zone got cancer. I told some people today about that when I went to the VA. They said, that's what happened. I said, you're darn right I did. To take down our soldiers, because they know that when the North American Union and the UN troops, the Chinese troops, the Russian troops already here, you put our American soldiers and Marines against them, they kick their hiney butts back to the land they came from. But not now. At 26 suicides per day being orchestrated, now you got the picture. Now, the Illuminati and the secret societies, they're digging their own grave. They have no idea what's going to happen to them. Psalms 34:21 tells you exactly. That kind of brings us up to date in a way. I've left out a whole lot of stuff because if I didn't, I'd be here for another 2 hours, literally. Many, many things. Bretton Woods. Oh, goodness gracious, the treaties that they signed. Oh, my gosh, man, the things they set up simultaneously from these committees and councils and so forth. I've done deep, deep research on this. There's a way that you could draw off of the money in Switzerland called accepted for value to pay off your house, your car, from that $1 million I told you about, the collected interest. You baby boomers, if you're 60, 61 years old, it's anticipated you're worth about $300 million of a bank account you don't even know about. There were several experts, you might say, that were your truthers, and I can't think of the name off the top. I keep forgetting the name. Was given lectures about how to gain that money if accepted for value. You draw off of it and get your house paid for. Your invoices were your electric bills, your phone bills, your mortgage payment, all that was invoiced. And the IRS had to pay off all of it, because you draw off of it. That was the remedy. But they wanted to keep it secret. On my timeline, if you go to Woodrow Wilson and Mandel House, you'll read the quote there. It tells you exactly on my timeline. On my website, watchforjesus.com, around 1920s. Now, watch this. All this I've shown you so far, General Butler, 1920s, how he was working for Standard Oil, and that he found out he was, War is a Racket, he wrote it, 1933, 32, War is a Racket. They never told me that in the Marine Corps. I wonder why. He was disgusted with it. That was 1920s, 1930s, Bonus Army, etc. You just heard the documentary that, you know, that I played about his actual quote. It's around 1930s. Well, I found something else. I found that in 1924 to 1927, from separate investigation, also, that a Mr. H.H. Stevens, a member of Parliament for Vancouver, between 1924 and 1927, he was appointed the Royal Commission to investigate corruption in the Canadian Customs and Excise Service. Well, subsequent to that investigation, they found something else. And surprise, surprise. It was proved that communists were in total control of both America and Canada. And evidence was given then to prove that there were actually plans to destroy the United States and Canada as nations. It's been since changed to Canada going to take the northern part of America when they destroy America first, but Canada will also be destroyed and consumed within the North American Union. Canada has an international institute also, CIIA, Canadian International Institute for Relations or something like that. Evidence was given before the Royal Commission in early 1920s, and during this investigation, here's what they found. That in fact, there was a conspiracy to destroy both the United States and Canada as nations. And this coincided with today's present development of the North American Union and NAFTA Treaty to set up the North American Union. And Senator Schaefer was going to take it down before she was killed and her husband committed suicide after he allegedly shot her. Senator Schaefer was going to take down CPS, Child Protective Service, and go after the North American Union formation and take it out. She died with a gunshot to the back by her husband, and he allegedly shot himself in the head or the chest. They can't decide. So there was evidence determined. And here's what they found out. The following evidence was realized by those who were aware of this grand conspiracy was the following. Number one, they seriously affected the national economics by robbing the National Treasury Department of hundreds of millions of dollars in 1924 to 27. Number two, they corrupted government officials at the highest levels and obtained control of two main parties. So now you know. That Martin Luther King was right on target. Martin Luther King in 1960 said, and I quote Martin Luther King Jr., "We must face the appalling fact that we have been betrayed by both the Democratic and Republican parties," unquote. That's where it came from. He quoted, and I got the evidence right here. Number three, they established a new society in which the wealthiest members had made their money by illegal methods and were thus forever beholden to those who made their successful operations possible. Family, if you think that these millionaires and billionaires, Gates and the rest of them, and the little girl with her shoes and making $1 million, or the guy on Facebook making his million, or just entrepreneurs, surely to God's goodness, you're not that naive. None of them have. Because you're corporations. Everybody is a corporation. Therefore, you have to file income taxes. When you have an invention, you got to put it in a patent office. When they find anybody with an incredible increase of money flagged, they're going to find out why. To make sure you do not become a millionaire. And if you do, they're going to want you to join their Illuminati or join the Freemasons. Or they will not let you do it. If you have an invention, like, say, turning water into fuel, which is exactly what happened in the 1980s. A man that created, an engineer did, turning hydrogen to draw hydrogen out of water. As a fuel. Water. He patented it. Pooh. See, they watched the patent office. Hey, well, you what he got? Yeah, let's go. Oh, they offered him $1 billion for it. He refused. He was murdered. Family, that's the reality of it. That's the purpose of the patent office. It's to monitor. That's the purpose of income taxes, making you a corporation, to make find out where you're getting all that money from. Just what FDR said. You all understand what I'm saying here? This world is Satan's only for a short period of time. Because Jesus Christ is there for you when you call upon him. And only Jesus, not Billy Graham, not the priest, not the pope, no rabbi, no preacher, minister, or Timbuktu, Kalamazoo. If it's a human being, forget it. It's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And the only true word of God is the King James Bible. That's it. And that's provable. That's evidentiary. That's irrefutable. They haven't refuted it in 400 years. What did they do before then? They hid the word. That's why in the Alps. When to do that? Old Cletus would ask. Throughout the Dark Ages. That's why they call it the Dark Ages. What happened before then? They had the copies of the actual documents from the scrolls, from the actual writers of the Bible. The prophets were collected in Antioch. That means it's God's holy word. Passed all the way to the Alps, all the way to King James, 1604. They collected 5,000 pieces of documents, scrolls. There were nothing but transcribed in copies from the originals that was long since destroyed. But perfect copies. Goes back to the original authors, 40 of them to be exact, and the 66 books they found were inspired by God. God's holy word was the King James Bible, is the King James Bible. And Moses is the Old Testament, part of the Torah, not all of it, part of it. The rest of it's nonsense like the Apocrypha, Septuagint, and all that junk. Junk. But the Old Testament under Moses, the five books of Old Testament, oh, no, that's God talking to Moses literally, audibly. So, that being the case, Moses being instructed by God, Old Testament, was the scriptures that Jesus referred to when he talked to the disciples, the law that Jesus Christ fulfilled. Then the life of Jesus Christ became the New Testament. I have two commandments. That's to love each other and the Lord love the Lord thy God with all your heart and soul and for each other too, worse the effect. Was then written down after the Pentecost with the Holy Spirit guiding them. God's holy word. Well, I'm headed somewhere now. Keep up with me. Collected to Antioch. Antioch, they were getting killed, beaten up. So they said, man, we're tired of this. We're going to the Alps, the Vaudois, and the Valdonis. Took the scrolls and documents to the Alps. Hid out, made copies, distributed them in Latin. Erasmus, Wycliffe, Tyndale, all this comes along. And here comes King James. All he did was authorize it, that's all. He's a man of God, never homosexual, never pedophile. He wasn't a Freemason. These are lying Freemasons and lying Christians of, Christian identity folks and Jesuits saying that King James was all these other. It's a lie. That's 20 years after he died they come up with this nonsense. So now what have I done so far? I've shown you that the King James Bible that comes from King James has authorized it, that they got from Antioch in the Alps. That's why they call it the Dark Ages, was hidden in the Alps. They call it the Dark Ages because God's holy word was hidden. All the Vatican had was nonsense and garbage and Duray Reams, the Apocrypha and all that garbage. Oh, I know I wasn't putting the King James Bible at first. Two Jesuits insisted that happened. Then they finally took it out in 1885. The Apocrypha. Trace it back to Antioch. King James, Textus Receptus, Erasmus, Antioch. Trace it back to the originals. Back to Moses' family. King James Bible is the oldest book on the face of this planet. It's God's holy word. And you can't get any older than the Creator. The Cambridge edition of the King James Bible is the oldest book on the face of this planet because that's God's holy word and God came before the planet did. That's what I've just done. Transcribed, translated, led by the Holy Spirit, led by Jesus, and led by God himself to Moses. No mistakes, no errors. They try to twist and turn it. Calvinists do. preterists do, Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Columbia, etc., like a worm on a hot plate. They fail every time. As smart as they are, they fail. Then they get all mad at you and all. Okay. That's the truth. Let's go back to the evidence. You thought I forgot, didn't you? As a rabbit trail, I get off on sometimes. The evidence was they affected national economies, economics. They corrupted government officials. They established a new society, that's where I was, where the wealthiest members are obtained by illegal methods. They got them right there by the... they got control of them. The majority of the newly rich can't help but carry out the request of those who made them rich, because those who made them millionaires overnight can reduce them to poverty just as quickly if those so much as even hesitate to do their bidding. Or they make them Freemasons and they're under a blood oath of God to do what they're told to do. They got to be the way. Number four, they found out, they obtained such control of high-level government officials that they had to adopt a policy regarding international security which permitted the Communist Party in both Canada and the United States to perfect the revolutionary plans and await the day when the international conspirators give the order to revolt. And number five, listen very carefully, number five, final piece of evidence. They saw to it, they found out, that, quote, just enough evidence appeared in the public free press, just enough evidence appeared in the public free press to disgust the public. Because this gave the public the feeling that our governments have been proven so rotten that any change must be for the best. That any change would be the New World Order. So they let you know just how bad the government is, how evil the government is, how despotic the police departments are, how bad this is, that is. We have something better for you. But the news reports don't disclose any connection between the international capitalists who organized this gigantic conspiracy and the subversives in the underworld who put the plans into effect. Who are the subversives? CIA, the intelligence agencies throughout the world, mafia, those guys, plausible deniability. This is the big picture of what's going on today. Now, they lose. Now, I want you all to know that. Now, I've thrown a lot of stuff at you today. A lot of stuff. But family, what you got to understand is no one can defeat the Creator. He already knows what they're going to do. This whole thing is about your soul. It's not about Agenda 21. It's not about, oh, we're going to Venus to have a big old sphere and live inside it. It's not about GMO products or FEMA camps and all this sort of thing. All that's going to be taken down in the sixth seal anyway. Again, I look at the bigger picture. There's no way that evil can take over control of our eternity. It's not possible, you see. Evil did not create this world. But God gave us free will. He gave the angels free will. They made the wrong choices, some of them did. As a matter of fact, a third of them. If you were to read, I just don't want to do it right now. You all can do it. I recommend you do it. if you were to look up, you can find it in about 5 seconds, maybe 10 if your fingers are slow. The Oath of the Knights of Columbus and the Oath of the Knights of Malta and Rhodes Scholars, that's based upon the Oath of the Jesuits, which is absolutely horrific, ugly, nasty. That's the oath that Rick Joyner took, because he's a high level Knights of Malta. That's the oath that General Boynton took when he became a Knights of Malta, and today was selected as a chancellor, which goes back to Germany. It was the last time Hitler's was a chancellor was elected, appointed. Well, General Boynton is a Knights of Malta chancellor. Man, that's over the President of the United States. That's high, man. That's very, very high. That's over the top. They took an oath, the Knights of Malta. And they actually, General Rick Joyner wrote a letter explaining why he became a Knights of Malta. It's the most lionest letter I've ever read in my life. It's baloney. It's garbage. Part of this oath is, I quote, "I do further promise and declare that I will, when opportunity presents, make and wage relentless war, secretly and openly, against all heretics, Protestants and Masons." Oh. "And I am directed to expurgate them from the face of the whole earth, and I will spare neither age, sex, or condition, and that will hang, burn, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury alive those infamous heretics, rip up their stomachs and wombs of their women, crush their infants' heads against the walls in order to annihilate their execrable race. That when the same cannot be done openly, I will secretly use the poisonous cup, strangulation cord, and steel of the poniard, or the leaden bullet, regardless of the honor, rank, dignity, or authority of the persons, whatever may be their condition in life, either public or private, as I, at any time, may be directed so to do by any agents of the Pope, or superior of the Brotherhood of the Holy Father of the Society of Jesus." That's the Jesuits. Now that's just one little paragraph of quite a long oath that they take. Another part of it: "I do further declare that the doctrine of the Churches of England and Scotland, of the Calvinists, Huguenots, and others of the name of Protestants or Masons, to be damnable," really, "and they themselves be damned who will forsake the same." Now, that's just an extract of the Congressional Record of the House of Representatives, dated February 15, 1913. And that's where the oath is entered as purported to be the Knights of Columbus, Knights of Malta, even Rhodes Scholar, which is Wesley Clark, takes similar oaths. That's what Rhodes Scholars do. Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar. Naomi Wolf was a Rhodes Scholar. Uh-huh. How they play the game? Y'all pick your tongues up or chins up off the floor. Now, that being said, did you know that Buchanan and Tom Braden were Knights of Malta? Now, all that being said, who is the bad guy today? Obama, he's a Muslim in the White House. A Muslim, huh? Oh, okay. He's a Muslim. No, he's a light worker like his cousin Bush and all the rest of them, Cheney. All of them are liars and light workers. But nevertheless, who's the enemy today from what the average American thinks is? Obama is, because he's a Muslim, which he's not. He's a Luciferian, but that's here and there. He's a trained Muslim to act like one, bringing Muslims into certain positions in the department. So you got to do what? You got to get rid of the government, don't you? Now, who's going to do that? military coup. Would that not be it? Again. So you've got the Muslims. Now, ISIS, which is controlled by the CIA and several other intelligence agencies, just a derivative of Al-Qaeda, which both of them neither exists, controlled by the secret societies as a dialectic, killing people over there. Sure, they are. Targeting Syria, it's coming. Those are Muslims. Wait a minute. We got a president that's Muslim. Oh, we support a military dictatorship, don't we? Well. Whoa. Don't want that. I want this one. Watch this. Here in a minute, I'm going to show you something. After all I've said so far, let's see, I pull it up here. Okay. Knights of Malta against even Calvinists, Freemasons. A military dictatorship to take out the Muslim president, and because ISIS is Muslim, all this is Muslim, and so forth and so on. Well, Knights of Malta, huh?
So things are getting nutty in D.C., and people are concerned about
another look at this quote. Here we go.
And whether or not, you know, we're maintaining the integrity of our Constitution, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Rick Joyner, Pastor Rick Joyner of the Morningstar Ministries, he's genuinely concerned about the disregard for our Constitution, which is why he's praying for God to manufacture a military takeover of the United States government. On a recent TV episode, you know, it's funny, but it's not funny because he's really serious. And he's connected up with some, like, military people. He said this: "There's no way our republic can last much longer. It may not last through Obama's second term. There's a glib, almost joyful disregard of the Constitution, a belittling of the Constitution. We're headed for serious tyranny," is what he says. So, Pastor Joyner, please tell us what we can do. I'm concerned about our Constitution, too. What can we do to save it? Let's see what he has to offer.
The kingdom of God is coming. And America is not the kingdom of God. We're not the new Jerusalem. I think we've been used in some wonderful and powerful ways by God. We've been one of the most generous nations in history. We've done so much good. And that's why I appeal to the Lord. Don't let us be totally destroyed. Please raise up those who will save us. And as I've started telling friends for a long time, that no election's going to get the right person in there that can restore us, because the system is so broken, so undermined right now, the whole system. I believe our only hope is a military takeover, martial law, and that the crucial, most crucial element of that is who the marshal is going to be. I believe there are noble leaders in our military.
Well, I hope God is watching his little TV station there.
I'm shocked that he would ask for specifically a military takeover. Oftentimes their messages are slightly more subtle.
And even more specifically, he says, "I believe that there are noble leaders in our military that love the republic, love everything that we stand for, and they could seize the government." And what's important to him, as he said, is who those people are within the military. So who might those noble marshals be, Pastor Joyner? Well, Rick Joyner is the president of the Oak Initiative, which is, their own website describes them as a grassroots movement to unite, mobilize, equip, and activate Christians. And among the ministers and Christian lobbyists that comprise the 14 board member of the Oak, listed directly below the chair and the president, is retired Army General Jerry Boykin. And this is how Boykin is described in the Oaks Initiative own website. "Lieutenant General Boykin was one of the elite warriors chosen in 1978 to make up the first unit in America's ultra-secretive and deadly Delta Force. That's who I want as part of my Christian army."
That's unbelievable. And you know what? The hypocrisy here is just egregious, right? So one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not kill, period. It's not thou shalt not kill unless it's convenient to our political agenda. It's unbelievable, especially to have people that have essentially trained to kill others on their board and on their team.
Besides the fact of the hypocrisy of they're so concerned about the Constitution that they want to usurp the Constitution. So on a recent show, General Boykin and Pastor Joyner discussed the excitement that the end times were near and that the only thing that needs to happen in order for the end times is for a prophecy to take place, Isaiah's prophecy of the destruction of Damascus, Syria. So they're like
super excited about the destruction.
They're geared up. Yeah. Oh, goody, grab the popcorn, you know. End days are coming, but not before Joyner and Boykin elicit God's help to save the Constitution by suspending the Constitution.
Okay. So whose side's on whose side? They took an oath against the militia. They took an oath against America. They took an oath against Calvinists. Calvinists, what are you doing? Whose side do you own? Because you're targeted by your own people. You want to try to fool us with the tribulations have already happened, Calvinists? Oh, yeah, that's what they say. So whose side do you own? Because the ones promoting the other side is not on your side. So you're kind of left out in the cold, aren't you? Somebody better do something here because the ones that want to overtake or get rid of the bad government that we have, the Muslim government, are themselves under control of the Jesuits. So, do we have a third group that's going to take over here? Who's who here? Who's on first? Y'all better do a reassessment, y'all smart guys out there. Council of Foreign Relations? He got your number, man. See how ridiculous this is? That's all real stuff I've just shown you. This is right up front. Documented. Congressional records, man. This ain't no conspiracy theory. So y'all big shotters up there, you got somebody nipping on your ankles and they're right next to you. So Jared Boykin and all the Knights of Malta members are against Freemasons. Now, you know, I'm just a little old guy here, you know, I'm just a this little old town and so forth, and I kind of see a problem there. That among your ranks, you got some liars, man. That's double crossing you already. Y'all get mad at me if you want to, but they've taken an oath to double cross you. And you can find out on his website. A letter explaining some nonsense, almost like 3 pages, of why he, well, I was this, that, and the other, and I really didn't know this and all that, doing the tap dance, man. Doing a tap dance, like back in the 30s. Frank Sinatra tap dance. So you militia out there, who are you depending on to lead you in this military takeover, this Muslim government we have? And 26 suicides of our veterans are being orchestrated. Everybody's playing this like it's some kind of Walt Disney film, like it's some kind of movie or some kind of game. Well, I don't see it as some game. You see, I see it as double-crossing. I see it's satanic. It's Luciferian. You know, what have I got to do to get across to people? You know, what, you know, I just, it's just frustrating. It really is. To sit back and watch this, like watching a train wreck. And nobody will listen. At the highest level. And use it the highest level. You've got traitors in your midst. Traitors in your midst. That's going to kill you. When they have total control. How come I have this? This is not classified information. This is easy. Connecting dots. I've done this now for how long, y'all? About 5 years? I got tons of broadcasting. It's not a matter of stopping it. It's a matter of leading people to Jesus. Jesus Christ is coming. And before he comes, man, there's going to be judgment. There's no escaping it. All that I've told you so far, watch this. I may continue this tomorrow too. How socialists achieve their goals. And remember today's broadcast. Because tomorrow, that's what I'm going to do. Tomorrow I'm going to tie some loops together. Chapter 15 tells what's going to happen to all lesser beings. Quote. I'm quoting it, by the way. All lesser beings, comma, Masons, comma, Jews, comma, Christians, etc., etc. When we, the high priest of the Luciferian creed, at last definitely come into our kingdom by aid of a coup d'etat, prepared everywhere for one and the same day, for one and the same day. Remember I read you a little while ago about their plans? And the wedding the day of is in one day. This is another source, completely unrelated. One the same day after the worthlessness of all existing forms of government has been definitely acknowledged. That goes directly in link with the evidence they found in that investigation to show the worthlessness of all governments. Then when they show the public worldwide how worthless your government is, and that lecture was given between 1873 and 1901. And the lecturer told his audience and listeners, Illuminati, Freemasons at Knights of Malta, that it might take a century, 100 years, to place those who directed the conspiracy where, quote, no power or cunning can prevent them from usurping, I'm having a hard time with that word, usurping, taking over, undisputed world domination. Quote, he tells his audience that once in power, they shall take the following steps to make certain they remain in power. Number one, we shall slay without mercy all who take arms to oppose our coming into our kingdom. Number two, belonging to anything like a secret society will be punishable by death. Number three, those who have belonged to secret societies have served the synagogue of Satan are to be disbanded and sent into exile. Now, this is 1873 to 1901. So then there's a side note. Exactly as was done in Russia and now being done in China. That was what was done in 1873 and 1901, just as he said. Quote, William G. Carr. The lecturer also adds, quote, in this way, we will proceed with Masons who know too much, unquote. Quote, number four, death will be the penalty of all who hinder our affairs. We execute Masons in such wise that none save the Brotherhood, that's a great white Brotherhood, by the way, can ever have suspicion of it, not even the victims themselves of our death sentence. They will all die when required as if from a normal kind of illness, unquote. So you Scottish Rite Masons? You'd do well to investigate and expose who among you are secretly the synagogue of Satan. Butler said he pacified Standard Oil and all that, right? The globalists determined that they would support the Bolsheviks back then, over and above and beyond the desire of the Russian people. The people wanted the Tsar to remain their ruler. So American money was used to provide the necessary funding for the beginning of one of the most despotic governments in all history. The government of Alexander Kerensky, interim government between the Tsar and Lenin, received private support from industry in America. It is hinted at that this financial support came from the same Americans and American banks that supported Lenin in 1905. Unquote. U.S. News and World Report. Now, the reason for such large cash gifts to the Bolsheviks was simple. Rockefeller Standard Oil Company had seen an international competitor surface up. The source of all the oil, the Baku oil fields, Caspian Sea, Russia. Russia's Tsar, Nicholas II, invited the European partnership of Rothschild and Nobel to develop his oil fields, and even gone so far as to construct a railroad for their use. So then the Bolshevik victory, financed by American bankers, guaranteed preferential treatment for John D. Rockefeller and world domination of the oil business. So then began the Russian Reign of Terror, financed supported by Americans of the highest level, controlled by the Illuminati and the Jesuits. You do have a separation of them, but they still have one thing in mind as a new world order. Council of Foreign Relations versus the Royal Institute of National Affairs, white hats, black hats, whoever hats, it don't matter. They have snakes biting within themselves. They don't even know. And by their own words, I've proven it today. I'm not going to give up, though. Maybe some people hear it, and the whole idea is not stopping it, because it's not going to stop. It's impossible. You have to take out all the monarchies, get all the Masons out, all the Jesuits out. You have to re-educate the youth. You know, we're going to take back America. We're going to form up the whatever. Really, you are, huh? How are you going to do that, really? People have no idea how this thing's organized. It's like a silly game with some of these people out here. There's no game. Not at all. The reality is, it's supernatural. Even on a natural level, you better know who your enemy is. And right now, I've proven that you have inside your own groups double cross. And how they're doing it. I mean, I have not even scratched the surface, really. Those of you that know me, you know already. But they lose. That's a guarantee. Jesus Christ won to cross Calvary. And there's nothing they can do about it. Not a darn thing. It would do well for them to renounce the blood oath. Get out of there, no matter what their career is, no matter what happens, because their soul is damned to hell if they go along with this agenda. I'm not preaching about stopping it, because God's in control of that. Man, that's way over my head, man, way over my pay grade. Whoa! I'm talking about accepting Jesus as your Savior and renouncing the blood oath, renouncing the witchcraft covens and all this, getting out of that mess and taking Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's what I'm talking about. And caring about each other, all races, creed, color, kind. Because you're all in it together. 360 degrees on this earth, man. North and south, east and west, and in the middle. You're all in it together. There's no escape. Not one. No time travel. No spacecraft. No, you know, maybe on TV, you know. Not in reality, though. Seek Jesus Christ as your Savior. This is the bottom line. Because the supernatural, the world of eternity, the eternity clock is going to start ticking. And when you die, whenever it is, before, when you think it's too soon, or whether it's about time or whatever, doesn't matter, and family members who's not saved, your eternity begins at that moment. And Jesus Christ, you don't want to hear him say to you, depart from me, I never knew ye that workers of iniquity. And those who reject Jesus Christ, no matter how good a person you think you are, if you've not repented of all the sins you've committed that you can remember, or taken him as your Savior, don't matter how good you've been, it's about accepting him as your Savior. being born again, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the ticket. That is how it works. And the change comes upon you. And these churches, these pastors, priests, rabbis, popes, they have failed miserably in their job, and judgment will come upon them first about not leading people to repentance. Some of them were doing it back in the past, in the 60s and 50s, because that was what they were supposed to do, until the 90s and everything changed on cue. They had to work on the children first of the baby boomers, and then slowly, and I'll talk about that tomorrow in detail, exactly how they did it, to get them to a point that they won't repent, but they're rebellious. It's taken them almost, what, 40, 50 years, almost 60 years? Well, family, it's time to go. It is. Tonight, Bible study, 8 to 9, on my website, watchmanforjesus.com. To remind you that we're played up randomly, John Kirkler, Herkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, highpointradio.net, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. And we appreciate that. And he has sponsors up there. I'd really like him to get us out, so y'all help his sponsors that live in those three states. Contact him and give him support if you want there, if you'd like. Because it helps him broadcast our shows, Bible studies. That's what we get out of it. So all I care about is just broadcasting, getting the word out. We're not going to be here forever, family. It's not going to be here forever. Because right now it's practice. The time's coming, you're going to go to work. And in the time of trouble, you're going to have a calm state about you, and people are going to come to you wanting to know why you're so calm. And then you're going to talk to them about Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. Y'all have a good night. And we'll see y'all tonight, 8 to 9 Bible study. I got archives up at watchmanforjesus.com. Archives is what my website's mainly for anyway. And tomorrow at 4 to 6, and then Bible study tomorrow, 8 to 9, and Friday the same thing. And family, don't let fear overtake you, because the fear is what they want to use as a weapon. Don't let them do it. Because you know the end. From the beginning, you do. Because the last prophecy was given, John of Patmos, in the book of Revelation, and there's no more new prophecy. Jude 1. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Jude 1, 2, and 3 tells you right there. There's no more new prophecies coming. It's set in the King James Bible, Revelation. Hey, y'all have a good night now here. Take Jesus as your Savior. Good night. God bless. This is a Watchman signing off. From the sky, the guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.